A lot of people do not like the new version of ChatGPT. They hate it so much that OpenAI brought back the old version to please them. This week on The Vergecast, we give our take now that we've had a week to try GPT-5 in the wild. And we tried vibe coding, and it did not go very well. Plus, Gentooie talked to a man whose smart home products stopped working. So he did what anybody would do. He bought the company that made them. That's this week on The Vergecast.
Welcome to Switched On Pub. I am producer Rihanna Cruz.
I'm songwriter Charlie Harding. Dr. Sloan is on vacation, and so we are graced by the great engineer, Brandon McFarland. Hello.
What's up? What's up? I'm back.
Pew, always a pleasure pew, to have pew. You here.
Yeah.
Foghorns, lasers, smoke show.
Hell yeah.
I'll add all that in later.
Happy to have you here, Brandon.
Makes the show sound good.
Happy to be here.
So recently we had an episode about the Song of the Summer. After that episode, I went to check out the Billboard charts. Yeah. And when I checked, I saw that there's no hip hop in the top 10 anymore.
Mm. What?
That really surprised me. I mean, the closest thing to it is Luther at 12 by Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
R&B throwback track.
Exactly. And that really surprised me because I feel like this summer specifically, there's been some really great hip hop releases.
True.
And so what I'd like to do today with the two of you is look at some of the tentpole releases in hip hop this summer, specifically albums by Tyler, the Creator, and Clips. Mm. And then we'll do a sort of singles roulette where we look at three songs that are currently having a moment in the genre's mainstream.
Look at Brandon's smile right now.
I'm so excited.
He's thrilled.
Let's talk.
The perfect episode to have Brandon on.
Yes, I knew if I had the call, I was going to talk some hip hop. It's my favorite thing to do. Let's go.
Brandon, one of a kind music producer you have produced in the world of hip hop. And these records by Tyler and Clips, I think, are like completely in your wheelhouse. This is like a little bit of millennial fodder here.
It is. This is my high school Neptunes fandom all over again. I get to fan out about Pharrell and his amazing beats in the Clips. But then also, which I think we'll probably talk about later, Tyler is kind of like the offspring of that. So
yeah,
I'm in heaven. I'm enjoying all of this.
Rihanna, where do we start?
Sweet. I'd like to start with the latest from Tyler, the Creator. His album, Don't Tap the Glass, which starts with this.
Welcome. Number one, body movement. No sitting still. Number two, only speak in glory. Leave your baggage at home.
None of that deep shit.
Number three, don't tap the glass.
Before the beat even kicks in, we get this intro from Tyler. This is the song Big Poe, instructing the listener how to consume the record before it even begins. I love that.
Yeah, more manifesto than intro. He's saying, you got to move your body. Like, actually, what we're doing right now is not allowed.
Nah.
You're not allowed to sit down and talk about music. So we might have to, like, put our standing desks up, shake the booty a little bit, move the hips. He's like, none of that deep shit. Tyler is known for, you know, very complicated personas, interwoven lyrical messages across albums. This is like, move.
I love the vocoder voice. And then there's Tyler in his, like, most California accent in the back, like, saying these little things like, funky, dance, bro. Like, it sets you up to have fun.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of, like, classic electro.
Welcome. Number one, body movement.
And I like this intro because it feels so conceptual in a way that is different than I think most records in the streaming era. Tyler is known for these albums that aren't necessarily concept albums, but they have a similar sound and theme. You know, Flower Boy was him expressing a sensitive side. Chromacopia, he was crafting this alternate universe. This is like so simple, but sets the tone for a dancey, fun, bouncy record. You know, you already know that you're going to be moving.
So let's move.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Burning shit down, turning shit up. I don't consent, I don't give fucks. You on my dick, nigga, get up. Wipe your lips off while I zip up. I'm a sick pup, girl, I'm nasty. Eat the cream pie.
In your face.
Blap. Slap.
immediately we got a different vibe. Just the first line on the song after the intro going, burn this shit down, turn this shit up. Like, that's hard.
He's also putting us in a very specific time and place. Like, these strong synthesizers, these sampled beats, very sort of like 2000s era hip hop. And that's very well aligned with this manifesto that he's set up. When I teach about the history of hip hop in my coursework, we talk about this sort of like ebb and flow of sometimes hip hop is like fun party music, like in its founding. And sometimes hip hop is like deep cultural commentary or reflecting the lived experience of Black urban America, like gangster rap. But the 2000s were an era where hip hop was really fun. It's party hip hop. It's the mixture of synthesizers, dance beats. And that's what I'm hearing on the first track of Tyler's new album.
To that point, and back to the Neptunes, you hear the half step. It's one of those half step melodies. The whole time.
The Neptunes and Pharrell love that half-step sound. Just to be clear, like, what we mean by this half-step thing is it's just, like, playing two notes back and forth, like the Jaws note. You do that, and it's like a Neptunes beat. So we're talking, like, Hot in Her.
Nelly.
Brandon, what are some other, there's so many, what are some other good examples?
Okay, one song that comes to mind that does the half step beat is Super Thug by Nori. Hey yo, we light a candle, run laps around the English Channel. Neptunes, I got a cocker spaniel. We on the run. Yo, he, I know we're listening to this like 25 years removed or whatever, but hearing this in the early 2000s was absolutely insane. You were just like, what is even happening?
It reminds me of Milkshake by Khalees as well, that does the same thing.
La 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 la. It's that la 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 la. Okay, and we're hearing the same thing on Tyler.
Run it back.
He's running us back to the 2000s. Burning shit down, turning shit up. I don't consent, I don't give fucks. You on my dick, nigga, get up. Wipe your lips off while I zip up. Bum, 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 bum. It's menacing, it's quirky, but it's fun.
So Tyler's last record, Chromacopia, was more serious and heady. You know, there were some brash songs on it. I know Sticky was a big radio hit, but on the whole, it was a vulnerable record. Big Poe evokes to me previous Tyler songs that had so much energy and really grabbed your attention. It reminds me of the first track off of his 2015 album, Cherry Bomb, Death Camp. Excuse me, mister, but can you please turn down the lights?
I don't really like all these cameras, man, and this shit just don't feel right. So fun. It's got that same half step thing, but then at the end of every phrase, it turns major.
Yeah.
It's both like really dark and minor and then very major. He's really messing with us.
He wears his influence on his sleeve like this because, like I said, I'm also a Neptunes baby. And so, you know, Pharrell's Rock Band is NERD. Like, that's what this gives. Once the guitars come in and it starts sounding like Rockstar from the first NERD album. I can hear the NERD influence in this one.
You can also like hear the vocal processing. Yeah. It's so similar. So we have this nerd-inspired beat, right? So along with the intro, we gotta mention Skate Bird, the featured performer who has a couple verses on this track. I'm in Paris where it rains. Married to the game, for the carrots and the rains. And what you drive, you can't compare it to the chains. So I'm kind of hurry up with the plane. G700 or the Glover 8000. Those are extended with the mountain. Virginia, Florida, France is the housing. I got a bunch of woods, they are down there. Skateboard is an alias from star producer slash rapper slash Lego aficionado. I watched his biopic, Pharrell.
Feel like I buy this vocal a lot more than I buy his vocal on Lose Yourself to Dance and Get Lucky. Like, this is his home base.
Yeah, he sounds good.
Yeah.
And his voice on these verses is delivered with such a cadence that it feels almost put on. You know, it feels almost like he's not supposed to be recognized. I mean, the feature is from Skateboard. You know, he's credited as Pharrell Williams on streaming, but the title of the song is Big Poe featuring Skateboard.
Yeah, new persona. I'm not mad.
I mean, he's linking with Tyler, who does personas all the time, you know?
Isn't that honestly him, though? It's like, he was the Neptunes duo. He was NERD.
Mm-hmm.
He's someone who brought a very futurist and yet unheard of sound to the world of hip hop that really transcends hip hop. I mean, he makes hip hop. He makes dance music. He makes pop music. He makes everything. And I think leaning into persona and the sort of caricature of the fun club-oriented hip-hop of the 2000s is actually really on point.
Just so braggadocious, man. My favorite line is, mouthful of rocks like Dino. Like, what a way to say you have diamonds in your teeth.
Fuck around and get found in. I like crew necks, polos, and chinos. A mouthful of rocks like Dino. Yellow diamonds, ask Jacob, nigga, he know.
Help me out with my reference. We're talking about Dino from the Flintstones, like the dinosaur who eats rocks.
Yep.
So if you smack together Pharrell, electro music, and Busta Rhymes, you get Big Poe. And I want to stay on Pharrell for a second, right? Because for one, he's going to be all over this episode. Mm-hmm. Nearly every song we talk about today is going to have a connection to Pharrell. But Don't Tap the Glass is indebted to his work. For example, take another one of the record's big tracks, the song Ring, Ring, Ring.
For the record, everybody here, we are listening to Tyler. We are abiding by his manifesto. We are dancing, listening to this record. We are moving while podcasting. I didn't know this was possible.
Can't help it.
So we got another bouncy dance hip hop track. Mm. And off the bat, Ring 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 is similar to Big Poe in a few ways. You know, we got a call to action in the chorus. Ring Ring Ring, pick up the phone. There was the call to action in the Big Poe intro. Like Big Poe referenced Tyler's previous track, Death Camp. There's references here to previous Tyler tracks. Ring 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 uses a metaphor of a phone call, which connects with Tyler's previous album, Call Me When You Get Lost. He also loves a phone metaphor. It's all over his catalog. It's on songs like 911, Mr. Lonely off of Flower Boy. And the beat of Ring 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 reminds me of other Tyler tracks, like I Think off of Igor.
This is part of what makes Tyler such a great artist to talk about. He's an auteur, right? He self-produces most of his work. He's super involved in every creative decision that is made in his project.
Yeah.
And he's self-referencing himself. He's referencing lots of other music. I mean, can we talk about that bass line in Ring, Ring, Ring for a second?
Well, I hope you lit. I miss your touch. I miss your smell. I miss your lips.
Maybe grab if he wants to make a dance record, there's probably no better thing to cite than a classic house track like Mystery of Love by Mr. Fingers. To be clear, this is more of an interpolation and a nod. That song was previously sampled by Kanye on The Life of Pablo on the song Fade. But I think he is trying to place us in this mindset of mid-90s house music dance infused with 2000s hip-hop.
You know what I heard, though?
What's that?
Humor me for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a little bit of Michael Jackson Off the Wall, like that bass line.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar.
People on Genius say it's interpolated.
I hope you good, I hope you well, I hope you lit. I miss your touch.
It's close.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's in there. Okay, so lots of dance music is happening in this bass line.
Mm-hmm.
It's working hard for us.
Yeah, and I mean, Pharrell is already on the record. You know, we heard him on Big Poe, but this song also is heavily inspired by Pharrell. I know we mentioned N.E.R.D. in the context of Big Poe, but I see a connection between Ring 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 and N.E.R.D. songs like Hot and Fun.
Okay, we wrote this for a purpose to motivate you at this time. With this hypnotizing bassline, please feel free to lose your mind. And get high, get money, get sex, get real, all in between. Oh yeah, this is stadium music, 50,000 at a time.
Remind me, who is in N.E.R.D.?
It's Pharrell, Chad, and Shay. And they've also collaborated with the band Spy Mob to make the first album. But those are the main three.
Isn't part of their legacy bringing live instrumentation, sort of like rock instrumentation, into the world of hip hop?
Exactly. That's their version of a rock band. I wish I had a name for the type of like sound. It's like galaxy, almost prog rock hip hop
yeah.
sound. It's crazy.
And it's a direct lineage into, I think, the sound of Tyler. Right, this is a little bit more disco with the strings, but we've got those sampled acoustic drums in the background. We've got piano, keyboards, a bass line, which I think is like plausibly an electric bass, but probably a synthesizer.
Yeah.
But let me just say, N.E.R.D. had other sounds than this like massive, hard-hitting rap-rock hybrid. They could also go softer. And I think a song like Things Are Getting Better off of In Search Of reminds me of the part that I just played of Ring, Ring, Ring. Now it seems that things are really getting better in my life. Is it just today or things are really getting better? Yeah. Disco vibes.
Yeah, it's their attempt at chic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't give Pharrell enough flowers here, but I do want to show my age and just mention this album that people don't really talk about that much, but Pharrell released like a solo record. It's called In My Mind, and there's a few songs on there that remind me of Ring Ring. One of them is called Baby with Pharrell and Nelly. Hey, I see that look in your eyes, I wanna touch you, baby. Are you by yourself tonight? I wanna touch you, baby. Yeah, it's something that happens when you're like those hip hop producers that can do everything themselves. They get to this zone where they can pick any instrument and make it sound good almost.
So Don't Tap the Glass is filled with this danceable genre spanning hip hop. We can cite Pharrell and N.E.R.D. as the genesis point of that, along with the Neptunes. And, you know, I think we could just call 2025 the summer of Pharrell, low-key, because he is also the executive and only producer on the other landmark hip-hop album this summer. The Virginia duo Clips made a return to music with their album Let God Sort 'Em Out, baller title. Let's listen to their track, So Be It. When I was born, grandmama could see it. I'd be Bentley driven and very strategic. RM sleeve, no diamonds are needed. Floors are heated, so be it, so be it. Fucking with P, get something to meet you. Your soul don't like your body, we help you free it. Then we wait for TMZ to leak it. It ain't no secret, so be it. So Clips is a duo, two brothers, Pusha T and Malice. Both of them have had varying levels of success over the past few years since Clips' last record, which was released in 2009.
Big gap in release.
Yeah, in that span of time, Malice left the group. Pusha T went with Kanye and Good Music. You know, just a real brief thing. Malice, he found religion. He became a Christian or recommitted his life to Jesus. And so we didn't really hear from Malice.
Oh, hold on, hold on, hold on. You gotta say, like, Clips is also known for developing their sound as, like, coke hip hop.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like, playing the, like, mobster, gangster character, coke slinging.
I mean, you listen to the first lines of Virginia off of their album Lord Willin', and they spell it out for you right there. I'm from Virginia, where ain't shit to do but cook. Pack it up, sell it triple price, fuck the books. Where we re-up,
relocate, re-off the roof. So when we pull up, it ain't shit to do but look. You know which one I was thinking about?
Mm.
The very first song on that album. Pusha says, We Ain't the Same. I'm into cane and guns. Like, it just set the tone right off the top.
Players, we ain't the same. I'm into cane and guns. Chopar with the fishes, make the facelift numb. Out in Panama on that amazing sun. I'm amazing, son. You niggas wonder where my grace is from.
They're like Grand Theft Auto music. The beats are fun because Pharrell discovered them, made all the beats. And so it's like party music with hints of 90s gangster rap, but clearly the most over-the-top hyperbolized version of that.
Yeah, for me, it always defined like the streets of Virginia, because I've never been to Virginia. This was like my window into that.
So that was 2002, bringing it to 2025. So Be It features another Pharrell beat. You know, I want to stay on the Pharrell tip here for a second and look at the beat that we got cooking, right? When the song starts, we get a striking sample.
16,000 square, 8 million up there, 2 million down here.
When I was born, grandmama could see it. I'd be Bentley driven. So what we're hearing is a pitched down version of Saudi Arabian musician Talal Mada and his song Maza Akolu.
Maza Akolu Waqad Huntu Fiki Wassaharu Qad Fada Min Aynay.
Beautiful strings. What is it doing there? Does it have any commentary on the music?
Great question. I don't really know. Here's what I think. I think there was a period in the early 2000s where hip hop producers would use Arabic, you know, Middle Eastern samples in the music to give it, I don't know, a kind of exotic quotes around that feel.
Right.
You know, it reminds me of the stuff that Timbaland would pull off, or like how Bloodshy and Avant grabbed a vintage Bollywood score to do Toxic by Britney Spears.
Right. By the way, Timbaland and Pharrell went to high school together. So remember that. They're both from Virginia Beach. Like, this whole thing is just like Virginia Beach is what we're talking about. But I feel like then people spent 10 years on the internet talking about cultural appropriation and like who has the right to use what sounds. I feel like in a certain way, clips are preempting that criticism, because if there's anything that runs throughout this entire album, it's this one line they keep playing over and over and over again. This is culturally inappropriate.
This is culturally inappropriate. So be it.
They use it all over the place, and it's working on multiple levels. On one level, it's sort of anticipating the criticism of cultural appropriation, which I think is a very valuable conversation to be had, even though we now live in a world where people just go on podcasts and say whatever they want. I think it's also trying to preempt the criticism of, like, this is coke rap. It's bad for the culture, when it's really no different than a movie like Scarface or The Godfather. It's working in those kind of metaphors, and they're cheekily playing at the criticisms that they're going to receive.
And we're here for the rhymes. You know what we're here.
Mm-hmm.
We're here for the metaphors. And I just wanted to say shout out to the Paul Revere drums by the Beastie Boys.
I was going to say, Brandon. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if this was a Pharrell sample outright. I mean, they're easy to do. It's like a reverse drum break.
Yep.
Here's a little story I got to tell about three bad brothers you know so well. It started way back in history with that rap and me.
It ain't no secret, so be it.
The beat isn't the only thing that's top shelf here, right? Like Brandon said, the power of clips is like in the raps. And I want to look at the verses because they are technical beasts. Listen to this one from Pusha T.
I can show you how to bust a brick if you let me. I monogram like confetti. Switch is ready. She leaning on Celine because she ain't stepping in Giuseppe. Catch a buck 50 like each Pirelli. I got 8 of them, call me Andretti. If I'm not in the telly selling the Yeti, then I'm twirling your bitch like she in spaghetti.
Okay, it's hard to use spaghetti in hip hop because then you're going up against, you know, Eminem. They have some spectacular pasta rhymes on this record. Can we listen to the song Ace Trumpets?
those moves. Penne alla vodka, Panama fishing village, visiting with Papa, with choppers, all of you in pasta. Simply just
we later get a focaccia rhyme. I love what he does with penne alla vodka, all of you are impostas.
Yes.
It's so silly.
You know, gangsters love pasta. I don't know what that is about. But back to So Be It, I love that they always connect the rhyme. Like, it's never disconnected.
Yeah.
It's just really top tier.
Right, because the whole verse hinges on this rhyme that he sets up in the first line when he's spelling out clips, right? Where he's like, C-L-I-P-S-E. And that rhyme carries the rest of the verse. It's so tight.
C-L-I-P-S-E-F-B, A-Ball L-V. I can show you how to bust a brick if you let me. I monogram like confetti. Switch is ready. She leaning on Celine cause she ain't stepping in Giuseppe. Catch up. Buck 50 like each Pirelli. I got eight of them.
Spell it out for me.
C-L-I-P-S-E rhymes with Epi, rhymes with L-V. Bust a brick if you let me. Monogram like confetti. Switches ready. She leaning on Celine because she ain't stepping in Giuseppe. Next line, Pirelli, yeah. Andretti, Yeti, Spaghetti, Heavy, wow. Kelly, Belly, and so on and so forth.
Both of them do this through the entire song, and it's really a flex because over the course of time, we've seen people rap and we can section them off in like, these are the lyrical miracle ones and these are the ones that can make the party rock.
Yeah.
And so to have dense lines and really tight rhymes be rappable, we haven't heard it in a long time. And it's almost like they're the only ones that could do it on this level, you know?
I mean, let's just check out Malice's verse because, yeah, like you said, Brandon, he does the exact same thing. And his verse, Malice said on Genius, is, quote, speaking to the integrity or lack thereof of so-called competitors.
So you ain't solid, ain't valid, you ain't Malice. Been quiet, ain't riot, you ain't Paris. Blow money, you owe money, we ain't balanced. You ain't believe, God did, you ain't Khaled. All black, back to back, this ain't traffic. Can't wrap your head round that, you ain't Arab. Y'all tweet, bird talk, we all parrots. Lone Star, cross the border, we like Dallas.
For a man who found God, he's got a lot of fronting that he's wanted to do.
And a man in his 50s. I think he's, this is like the get off my lawn sentiment in the best flow you've ever heard in your life.
Just looking at the first four lines, there's nine rhymes in there. It's, you ain't solid, ain't valid. You ain't Malice, been quiet, ain't riot, you ain't Paris. Blow money, you owe money, we ain't balance. You ain't believe God did, you ain't Khaled. Like, it's crazy.
Nasty.
Wow. This is that millennial rap candy.
So Be It is the manifestation of three musicians, Pusha T, Malice, and Pharrell, at the apex of their craft. The rest of the album, Let God Sort 'Em Out, is similarly technical. It doesn't just talk about money and coke, which, you know, they're famous for doing. We're going to talk about the album's opener after the break.
Megan Rapinoe here. This week on A Touch More, we are welcoming a very special guest to the show. She speaks multiple languages. Her middle name is literally tough, and I used to dread playing against her on the field. That's right. It's five-time Champions League winner, Lucy Bronze. And now, two-time Euro winner. Plus, Sue and I discuss the bonkers scoring in the W and share our new workout of the week. Check out our latest episode of A Touch More wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.
My name's Sean Ramosvaram. For Today Explained, I'm outside the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. with one question. Do you think we should go to Mars?
I don't think it should live in Mars, no.
Well, I don't know why just Mars.
I think as Earthlings, we are a nosy group of people. And I really don't think that we have any business going to Mars.
Our knowledge about the solar system and the universe will grow substantially. I think maybe we should just leave Mars alone, just stay with Earth.
Like, so many innovations are going to come out of it because so many different companies are going to be fighting to get, you know, that first ticket to Mars. So I feel like we should.
But at the same time, we should solve some problems here first.
I think we need to expand what we know, what we see.
Honestly, for our own benefit.
We should go way beyond.
Today Explained from Vox is taking a summer sojourn on Mars. Join us.
This week on Criminal, at 6 a.m. on August 29, 2005, Hurricane Katrina made landfall in Louisiana. People in the Fisher housing projects were trapped without food, water, and electricity. It didn't seem like anyone was coming to help. And then 20-year-old Jabbar Gibson found about a dozen parked school buses.
I decided right then and there that I was going to drive one of these buses, but I didn't know how.
Listen to the latest episode of Criminal to hear what happened next. Listen to Criminal wherever you get your podcasts.
So the first song on the Clips album features John Legend and the Voices of Fire, and that's the song The Birds Don't Sing.
The birds don't sing, the birds don't sing, they screech and play.
So this is the first song on the album, and we're already coming at it hard. That's a pretty compelling line. The birds don't sing, they screech in pain.
This is the most intimate song on the whole record. So much of this record is this sort of mobster persona, the coke rap thing, going back and doing their old stuff. But this is an ode to their deceased parents, and you can hear immense amount of pain in the performance.
Yeah, and I'm going to drop some cinephile knowledge on you guys right now.
Ooh.
Okay?
Oh, okay.
Film major.
The birds don't sing, they screech in pain is actually a paraphrased quote from German filmmaker Werner Herzog.
Whoa. Wait, can you do it in his voice, please?
I'll do you one better and play the clip.
The trees here are in misery and the birds are in misery. I don't think they sing, they just screech in pain.
Wow.
A little bit of background. There's this Werner Herzog movie called Fitzcarraldo set in the Amazon. And there's a documentary about Fitzcarraldo called Burden of Dreams. That is where that quote is from. Herzog is talking about the jungle and how cruel it is and how hard it is for things to exist in it.
Whoa.
And when you extend the central metaphor, right, the birds don't sing, they screech in pain, it drives this song, which is about grief. You know, it's about the death of Pusha and Malice's parents, and it connects the cold harshness and the striking nature of the jungle to the real world lived in experience of losing a loved one.
Mm.
Wow.
And I think it really works with the John Legend vocal. He can be someone I think of as like a great balladeer.
Mm.
But I actually think he's really channeling that lyric very effectively. I would not have expected him to be the first feature on a hip hop throwback record.
Yeah.
And yet I think he sells it very well.
So there's two verses in this song and each brother has a verse. And Pusha's verse talks about his last conversations with their mother.
On my way to Texas, that's when Virginia hit me. And I realized in that instant, our last conversation, you was against it. Told you I was going to Turks for Thanksgiving. I heard what I wanted to hear, but didn't listen. You said you told Jean that Bup needed forgiveness. I see you went to Didi's and stuffed both her fridges. You even told Dad you wished y'all never split it. See, you were checking boxes. I was checking my mentions.
Rhymes flying everywhere. Internal rhymes, rhymes across bars. And yet it tells this really clear narrative, right? Of like, the moment he finds out about one of his parents passing, it's really heavy and it's really artful.
Yeah, and I think it breaks the fourth wall in a way. Like, you really feel like these lyrics are from Pusha's diary, because there's a line in here that says, you said you told Jean. Jean is Malice's given name. By addressing Malice, who is also on this song by his birth name, it's like from the heart.
And they're talking to their parents. It's just one of those things where it's like writing a song about grief is so hard to do.
Mm.
And also maintaining your rap persona.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't even imagine. It might play to their age, them being like real grown men and being able to not put the persona aside, but take it along with them and tell the story. Yeah, it comes with wisdom. It comes with age to me that they can write like that.
Yeah, and they let their words do the talking, which I think shows a lot of confidence. When Malice's verse starts, it strips away everything that was added by John Legend and the choir and the orchestra and just has a simple piano riff.
The way you miss mama, I guess I should have known. Chivalry ain't dead, you ain't let her go alone. Found you in the kitchen, scriptures in the den. Half-written text that you never got to send. Combing through your dresser drawer, where do I begin? Posting noted Bible quotes, were you preparing in? I can hear your voice now, I can feel your presence. Asking, should I rap again?
And when Malice raps, I could hear your voice now, I could feel your presence, this synth comes in and kind of swallows you. It's so massive. So I think it's a really great example of production serving what they're talking about. And I think the maximalism of the chorus, contrasted with the stark nature of these verses, is kind of giving like catharsis versus trauma. You know, the two things are at odds. And then as the cherry on top, you know, we have this beautiful outro with John Legend leading the chorus, this orchestra. We get an outro with somebody who I never thought would appear on this album, Stevie Wonder.
Remember those who lost their mothers and fathers, and make sure that every single moment that you have with them, you show them love.
That's who that is?
That's Stevie?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
You're blowing Brandon's mind.
I was like, oh, that must be a family member.
Yeah.
Or they found like a clip of their mother. It's Stevie.
Stevie is kind of like, at this point in his life, a sort of like pop music preacher.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him at Madison Square Garden. He was like, this is an opportunity to like sing together, to experience love and life together. He felt like a preacher. And here he is sort of doing the job, one of the jobs of a preacher, which is like consoling someone through a difficult time.
Crazy.
So I wanted to talk about The Birds Don't Sing, because I feel like a lot of the conversation around clips and Pusha T in particular, one of my favorite rappers of all time, like top three, solid. But part of the convo around him is that he only raps about, you know, being rich, selling drugs, doing coke, right? Which all over the album. And I love listening to coke raps, but this is a take on a different type of hip hop song, one that immediately doesn't come to mind when you think of clips. And the fact that The Birds Don't Sing is the first track on the album sets up this cohesive and quite masterful record.
Take that, Post Malone. What did he say? He had a line, if you're looking for introspective lyrics or songs that make you cry, don't listen to rap. Take that, buddy.
Listen to rap is fun. What else are we going to listen to today, Rihanna?
Yeah, so I don't want to keep the convo to just albums. You know, if you really want to know what's happening in hip hop right now, you got to look to the singles, right? And I'd be remiss if I kept this episode album focused, because I feel like for most mainstream rappers, projects seem to come more sparingly. So I want to play single roulette and take a quick spin through some tracks that are popping right now. And I think the concept of an artist with a lack of timely record releases is a perfect segue to the first single we're going to look at, Cardi B's Outside. Good for nothing, low down dirty dogs, I'm convinced. Yeah. Next time you see your mama, tell her how she raised a bitch. Outside, cause it's hot out.
Talk about throwback.
So New York patron saint Cardi B is back with the lead single from her first album in, count 'em, 7 years. The album is called Am I the Drama? Which has been in my vocabulary since she announced it, always asking that question. Cardi's last record famously was her debut studio album, Invasion of Privacy, in 2018. That, of course, was a blockbuster, era-defining record with the singles Bodak Yellow. Say, little bitch, you can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't want to choose. And I'm quick, cut a nigga off, so don't get comfortable. And the song I Like It with J Balvin and Bad Bunny, which has almost 2 billion streams. And despite not releasing an album since then, Cardi B has still managed to dominate the culture with singles like WAP, of course, with Megan Thee Stallion, which came out in 2020.
Now from the top, make it drop, that's some wet ass pussy. Now get a bucket and a mop, that's some wet ass pussy. I'm talking WAP, 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 that's some wet ass.
And UP, which came out in 2021.
If it's up,
so both WAP and UP were hits, okay? And I mentioned both of them because here's the funny part. Both of those singles are going to be on Cardi's new album,
Stop
Am I
it.
The Drama.
Wow. Oh, so she's going to have a top 200 album no matter what.
Yeah.
By including those old singles.
I think it's pretty funny that 4 and 5 years later, these songs are going to be on a brand new record. You know, they haven't had a record before, so I guess this is their chance to shine again.
Ridiculous.
What a strategy.
It's definitely like an out-of-pocket move, you know? It's very streaming era core.
Biggest album of the year already, and it's not even released.
Yeah, crazy.
Speculating.
But at the same time, the thing about Outside is that it's not hard to see how it fits next to these two previous songs. You know, it sounds pretty similar to what she has already done. So let's give the hook of Outside another listen. It's just the song Up in a different font. You know, the way that she pushes out the word out, like the way she
out,
sings it.
And it's out and it's up and it's up.
Exactly. It's the same thing.
Yo, mash it up.
My first reaction, of course, was that Outside is also such a throwback track because that line is the Trigger Man beat, like the foundational beat to all of New Orleans bounce music.
The Trigger Man.
Sampled on Black and Yellow, lots of other hits.
To be from New York, those two songs in particular sound very, very New Orleans influenced.
Mm.
They really do.
Because it's fun music. I mean, you know.
It is fun music.
Not even to knock her, right? It's like that is the dance music in strip clubs around the world. And so, like, it serves to the brand to make that music.
It's fun. And I enjoy it. I'm a big Cardi B fan. You know, I don't know what they call them. Bardinators. But as we wait to find out in September if Cardi B is, in fact, the drama, I'd like to pivot to a duo of female rappers who have emerged recently in the years since Cardi's last record. And this is a song that I've heard everywhere this summer. The track Whim Whammy by Pluto and YK Niece.
Just proving that hip-hop is having fun.
Exactly.
Yeah, we getting money. Yeah, we getting paid. Shake that ass. Hit a split. Throw that whim all in his face. We forever getting money. You forever gonna be mad. Sound like Bunnaby. Cause her nigga dropped the bag. Shake that ass.
You heard it, right? There was like a little edit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like, you would have put that in a note for me, Charlie, like to cut that out.
Yeah, we don't accept that on the podcast, but it's also a way of like proving your authenticity. This sounds like it was just like chopped up at home. It's a way of saying this is real.
Whim Whammy is a fun song. You know, I think it's like the anthem of being outside this summer, but it's also definitely strange, right? Like it's lo-fi and weirdly mixed.
Yeah.
Like it seems like it's designed to be blasted out of speakers on the street, which like
bad speakers.
I appreciate. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, driving past.
We're talking like an old boombox from the 90s that you recovered from the ghost of a Radio Shack.
Right. I was finna say like speakers in the back of a Nissan Altima.
Yes, definitely a Nissan Altima crack speaker in the back as soon as the kick comes in.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The bass is just going to go.
In spite of or because of these quirks, possibly, like, I love this song. There's such a charm to it. And the lyrics have an extremely singable vibe. You know, they get lodged in your head. Like, I think every listener after this episode will be walking around the house going, whim whammy. Like,
yeah.
it's so catchy.
She says, let the Draco sing. Da 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 da. I was like, oh. I didn't know the Draco sang like that.
Quiet, they gonna let them Draco sing. Well, bitch, you burnt that.
My favorite is when she sings Lululemon, you know, yes. Like really putting that spawn con in the song, but perhaps aspirational spawn con.
The whole group said Lululemon.
Yeah, everybody was in on it. I like the coining of the phrase whim whammy. There's been a debate recently where the term comes from. You know, Mook B of D4L has come out and been like, I made a song called Whim Wham, You're Jack and My Swag. So, you know, it could be D4L origins, but Whim Whammy. It rolls off the tongue. It could be a dance. I think it's funny because, like, famously from Pressure Luck, you don't want whammies, but this is the opposite. Like, you want the whammy. I don't know.
But when I heard in the beginning of the song, I heard Zaytoven's tag.
Zaytoven produced Whim Whammy.
Biggest producer of Atlanta trap music.
I mean, a quick rundown of Zaytoven beats Versace by the Migos, Icy by Gucci Mane, and just one of my personal favorites, Make the Trap Say A by OJ the Juice Man, which might have been the inspiration for Whim Whammy.
I feel like this is yet another great throwback track. Like, Clips is showing us one way to look backwards is flow excellence, right? Mm-hmm. Just being the best rappers on the planet. Another way of looking backwards is the origins of hip-hop, like super lo-fi, made with budget gear. It reminds me of stuff like Roxanne's Revenge by Roxanne Shanti, where it's just like, it's loose, it sounds not professional intentionally, and in that way, it sounds fun and real.
Mm-hmm. My name is Roxanne, don't you know, I just a cold rock, a party, and I do this show. I said I met these three guys, and you know it's true. Let me tell you and explain them
all to Roxanne.
So before we close out, I have one more track, and I think I'm state mandated to include it, because we have to mention Drake in any hip-hop convo in 2025, unfortunately.
Oh, he wants to be.
Yeah, he has two new singles out. But the good thing is, the most recent one of his, I quite enjoy, frankly, and that's the song Which One, featuring Central C.
Yeah, all the girls that's here for the shoot, come put two hands on a DJ boot and wind your waist on a real good youth. And you want Central, your ex, which one? You want friends of success, which one? Tell the sound man, spin this one. Play this for the goddamn.
What do you do when you lose the biggest rap battle in history? You just go back to the thing you're really good at. Copying dance floor hits, putting on a not very good Jamaican accent.
Exactly. The reason why I find the song compelling is that I feel like much of the discourse, both in and outside of the Drake-Kendrick beef, has been Drake needs to go back to making fun music. But I agree. It seems like Drake has taken notes. You know, he's internalized those criticisms. I mean, we had Nokia earlier this year, which is one of my favorite songs of the year so far, and Drake's having fun. We're getting summer Drake. On Which One, peak Drake era. Drake dabbles in a little cultural appropriation here and there. In Summer 16, we got Jamaican Drake. Not for nothing, those songs were pretty good, you know, when he was dabbling in the patois and the Afrobeats. Songs like Too Good.
I hope you can take it all. I'm too good to you. I'm way too good to you. You take my love for granted. I just don't understand it. No, I'm too good.
And that same year, he featured on the instant summer classic, Work, by Rihanna.
Love that song still.
Now you need to forward and give me all the work, 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 work. It's in me, I've been work, 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 work. You see me doing my da, 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 da.
So nearly a decade later, he's literally just referencing his past. I mean, how do you feel about the fact that this new song literally lifts the chorus that's of Work?
Good. You need to throw that thing in the reverse. Then work, 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 work. Yeah, work, 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 work. Your last man broke your heart and it hurts. You could cry out, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love a self-reference.
Yeah.
I think it's a reminder. They're like, hey, I'm Drake. Remember I made all these hits?
Exactly. I mean, it's like cheeky. This is where he fits. You know, he's in the pocket on this song.
There is like a fun cross here between like the UK style of rap on this Jamaican or Caribbean style beat. Like, it fits.
360, my head got spun. Junk in a trunk, can't see it from front. Got your body as tea, it's pain, I'm sprung. Your backside weighing you down 1 ton. I got a chopstick for your 1 ton. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Pop coin in a slot, you just hit jackpot.
We have entered the era where people can say anything and get away with it and ascend to the highest office. And it seems that music is moving in the way of the rest of culture. So maybe going back to his dance hall days before getting called out for cultural appropriation is really going to work for Drake this time.
I think so. I think it'll create balance in the universe.
Speaking of balance, I mean, what is going on, Rihanna? Like, this seems to be the summer of looking backwards, right? Like, there had been all of this conversation about hip hop at 50 in this major moment of looking inward. Will it continue or will it go in the way of so many other essential black genres, rock and roll, jazz, things that eventually fade into outside of the commercial realm? And it seems like looking back to the 2000s in hip hop, maybe working hasn't generated any big hits. It is fun, though.
And I think that's the core word that I want to focus on, right? Like, fun. Because I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, there's no hip hop in the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100. And I think largely the conversation around the charts has been that the songs that are big in the country right now are pretty dour. They're down tempo. Yeah. They're not fun. Like, I don't want to throw that shit on at a party. You know, I don't want to throw that shit on at the beach.
No, we literally called that episode Summer Bummer.
Exactly. And I think what I want to show with these songs, you know, Save the Birds Don't Sing by Clips.
Yeah.
These songs are fun. You know, they're exciting. I want to hear them when I go outside. You know, we're in the middle of August. I feel like we need something to galvanize the people to dance. And I've been hearing all these songs on the radio, out of cars. And I think from this selection of music, we could gather that hip hop is feeling fun right now. It's feeling exciting. The hot temperatures are getting to us. And I think we just got to dance.
Agreed.
Let's hear it for some late summer bounce. Rihanna, you caught my ear when you talked about the 2 billion plays of Cardi B.
Mm-hmm.
You might recall that we've been playing bingo in the background all year long. We made all these predictions about things that would happen in 2025. One of these bingo cards has been flipped over. Is that how bingo works? I don't know.
Blotted. It's been blotted.
Blotted bingo. The Billions Club, which is a playlist on Spotify, keeps track of how many songs have surpassed a billion streams. I had predicted that we would have more than 1,000 people in the Billions Club, and we now have about 1,014. If I'm right, I believe the song Rewrite the Stars by Zac Efron and Zendaya was the 1,000th song to cross into the Billions Club. Whoa. And so if you're playing along, you can blot out your Billions Club square on your bingo card. If you've won bingo, let us know. There are so many other predictions that we haven't talked about. If you don't have a bingo card, you can still get one from our newsletter. You sign up at switchedonpop.com or in our show notes, and you can get your own little bingo card. Switched on Pop was produced by Rihanna Cruz, engineered and co-hosted with engineer Brandon McFarlane.
Hi.
Editing by Art Chung, illustrations by Iris Gottlieb, theme music by Jossie Adams and Zach Tenario of ArcIris. We're a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network, a production of Vulture, which is part of New York Magazine. You can subscribe at nymag.com/pod.
You can find us anywhere on social media at SwitchedOnPop and our website, SwitchedOnPop.com, where you can do many things, including signing up for our newsletter.
We'll be back again with a new episode on Tuesday, and until then, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Whim whammy.